God. God is good, isn't He? Well, how many ready tonight to go right into the Word? We've been talking about Yom Teruah. For those of you that aren't familiar with what we've been dealing with, I'll cover just a little bit as much as I can as far as a review. But it's important that we understand and realize the value of what the feasts are. Yom Teruah is the Feast of Trumpets. And we want to make sure everybody understands that this is the time to sound the alarm. It's the time that the church immediately should recognize and be aware that it's the time, the season, that God has appointed. So just as a reminder to you, Genesis 1, verse 14. You might want to write that down if you've never heard this before. If you've been in any of our services the last several weeks, you're familiar with this passage. Genesis 1, 14, he said, let there be lights in the firmaments. So he puts them in the firmaments for signs, seasons, days, and years. And let them, remember that. So you don't use some of them, use all of them. That's God's calendar. God has a calendar, and he works off of his calendar. And so that's something that we need to make sure we understand when we read the scripture. So when you come to the Yom Teruah, and you reach that part of the verse, and it says in the seventh month, on the first day of the month. That is Tishri, the month Tishri. So we have Elul, and then we go into that next month. So that's the seventh month on God's calendar, on the first day of the month. He said it'll be a time of blowing the trumpets, Yom Teruah. Yom, if you see that, Yom is day. Teruah of trumpets, day of trumpets. Hence the Feast of Trumpets. That's where we get that term from. Now, this is a fall feast, and it's something that we ought to know as believers. It's a disservice to the believer not to know these things, because you won't know the season in which God has picked in his own appointed days that he will bring the return of his Son. When he will say to the Son, it's time. It's going to happen during the fall feast days. How do we know that? Because those are the only feast days that have not been fulfilled. They have not been fulfilled. And they're going to be fulfilled. That's what's going to complete everything. Once Yom Teruah is fulfilled, the alarm sounds, then we have 10 days counting to Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement. That will be fulfilled. That day will be fulfilled. That's when he atones for us. But at that time, there's going to be a trumpet blast that the Lord, the Almighty God, will blow the shofar. He will blow the trumpet. Now, we see that, and I'll talk about it tonight a little bit. I'll give you the text. I mentioned it this morning, but it didn't give you the verse to go to. I'll give it to you tonight. But he's going to blow the shofar when he does. It's that sound is to be blown as long as possible. How long do you think God can blow it? Now, we're limited, right? We can take in a deep breath and blow. And you know, the way you blow it, and you can go look at this online, when those who practice blowing the shofar, they take as deep a breath as they can, and there they go. And they go until they look like they're going to pass out. And that's as far as they can go. But that's the sound, that's the last trumpet. The last trumpet sounds as long as you can. But in this case, you have to understand the Lord, the Almighty, is going to blow the shofar. So I can't even imagine what type of... But we have some indicators in the Scripture, and I'll give that to you in Exodus, of when that happened at Mount Sinai, so we can see that. So when you study in the Scripture, things to keep in mind. You have to go off of God's calendar. That's what's written in the text. In the Bible, it's God's calendar. It's not our calendar. We go off the Gregorian calendar. That was handed down from Pope Gregory. And from when Pope Gregory had it, he got it from Julius Caesar. That's why it was called the Julian calendar. So that's the one we use. Now, we use that calendar based on one sign in the sky. The Muslims keep a calendar based on one sign. God keeps a calendar based on all of them. He said, let them. Them referring to all the lights that he put in the firmaments. Let them be for signs, for seasons, for days and years. That's a good word. See, a lot of times we read the scripture and we don't realize how important little words like them are. Very important words. It takes us back to how important the words were when we talked about Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And we went on and talked about verse number 2 and broke that down to you. If it wasn't in that teaching, you can get it. Just ask them in the back. They'll get one for you. It doesn't cost anything. They can go back and print it. Or you could go online and look at it. Just go to our website and you can look in the archives and they'll be listed in there. Here's the thing about the way our teachings go. If you only hear part of it, you're probably going to be not so clear on what we're referring to. So it'd be important for you to keep up with that. Those of you that are working, you can't be here at every service, go back and make sure you listen to those, because this is an ongoing teaching, especially me touching on the Nephilim this morning, seeing that tie-in. That I asked that question, will we have faith? Will we have faith? That's a great question. Can we make it through the summertime? Can we withstand the attacks that are going to come upon the body of Christ before Christ returns? Can we grab hold to that? And so you get the teachings on Thursday nights. We're talking about the word rapture, understanding the end times. That's the title of the message, the end times. Are we prepared for that? Is the church aware of that? The Bible says, blessed is he who hears it, who reads it, who hears it, who heeds it. If you're not doing all those things, understanding the book of Revelations, that's a disservice to the believer. We can talk about shouting. We can talk about healing. We can talk about being blessed, giving, you're going to be blessed. All those things are great things, but it doesn't prepare you for the end time. It doesn't get you ready to meet the Savior. And that's what we got to be ready for. If you're going to meet the Savior, you got to know when that's going to happen. So this morning we talked about the 10 virgins. How many were asleep? All of them. All of them were drowsy, fell asleep, but then the sound came. Now, 5 of them made sure that they prepped before they went to sleep. But let's never forget that all was asleep. Now, I believe that's the condition of the church today. I really do. I believe we're sleeping and we need to wake up to the reality of what's going on around us in the world. If you watch the news, you're misinformed. I can tell you that. You're misinformed. You turn it on, I don't care what station you like, you can pick the most conservative station, Fox News, and you'll be misinformed. I can assure you of that. Remember I told you about news? It depends exactly how you, however you like throw up. If you like it hot or you like it lukewarm, it's all throw up to me. Listen, there's no reason. You cannot understand the end times when you listen to lies. And every time they open their mouth, they're lying to you. Because it's misinformation that's been filtered and watered down so it can keep all the sheeple quiet and lining up. So whenever they tell you to do something, you'll just line up. Do you know that in our world today that there have been committees set up. There's been committees that have been set up to gather in groups and groups of pastors all over the United States who will work with the government to make sure all the people stay really nice and sheeple-like when things start going bad. I want to tell you, I'm not one of them. And we have to understand who we're going to follow. And the question is, will you have faith? Will you have faith? And I left off this morning in the book of Nehemiah, and I told you we'd come back and revisit that because it's important that we understand what's going on if they're separated on the wall. And we're going to talk about that and give you some information. You can go back and look at it for yourself. Now, I want you to understand this. When I speak up here, I want you to understand this principle. Don't take my word for it. Do you understand that? I'm giving you information. Go and study it for yourself. Go look at it. You're very capable people. You have a Bible. You pray and you seek God. And you 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 got to give up some stuff now. I promise you. You're going to have to give up the news, probably. You give that up. And then you'll get in the Word of God and you check it out. And you follow the Scripture and you have to let Scripture interpret Scripture. You can't have an interpretation interpret Scripture. It'll get you in error. You cannot have a presupposition when you read the Scripture. Because you'll have a tendency to read only the verses that apply to your position already. What your position is. So what do? You go before God and say, God, I realize that I can make mistakes. And I realize that I've studied your word and I'm missing something. And I never want to stand before you on the day and you say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I know you not. So God, in order for me to never hear those words, I throw myself at the mercy seat and I ask you to allow the Holy Spirit to teach me. Open up the eyes of my understanding that I can be enlightened by your word. God, if there's anything that I've thought before that I've already decided on, this is what I believe and it doesn't match your word, I pray, God, that you cancel it out my memory because I never want to be misled, even if I mislead myself. Now, could any of us stand before God and say, well, Pastor Jesse said this and this is why I did it? Well, God won't take that as a defense. He will not do it because you have the Word of God. Now, even if I did lead you astray, you won't be able to use it as a defense. I will have to pay for that. Every word I speak, everything that I say here, I'm going to give an account before God. God's going to judge me based on the things that I've said. Everything that I've told you, that's why I constantly revisit the Scripture. And you know me by now, if I find something that I might have misspoke, I will come back and correct that the next service and tell you where I misspoke so we can go on and move on to the things of God. One of the things you got to remember, you got to be willing to admit that you've been wrong about some things. If you can't do that, then you can't walk in a repentant heart before God, and God's going to have a hard time teaching you anything. So that's some of the things that we have to understand about this. So when we come to Yom Teruah and we start speaking on that, naturally, if it's something you've never heard, then you're cautious about it. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing to be cautious about that. Then you take the Scripture and you go back and you look at it. Most of the time, what people do is they run to somebody and they want to have an opinion from somebody. Why don't you get your own opinion about it by studying the Scripture? Take some time. Look at it. That's why I give you all these verses. And again, it's not exhaustive. I say this all the time. What does that mean? That means it's not all the Scripture. I'm only giving you some of them. I don't have enough time in one setting to give you all of the Scripture. We've been going over this now for several weeks. So I want you to keep that in mind when you look at that. Now, one of the things that I find fascinating about this alarm sounding is that it's something that you and I, as believers, could understand about God's mercy and His grace that He would warn us ahead of time. That, to me, is absolutely amazing, that God would do that, that He would warn us ahead of time before He returns. So He lets us know. And so I don't want to be like the five foolish virgins who, when they heard the warning, they woke up. The five wise woke up. The five foolish woke up. But the five foolish didn't have any all. They could not give the light. It was dark. It was pitch black dark. They needed the light to find their way. So they went into the city to buy some all. And when they came back, the door had already been shut. How many get saved after the door shut? None. How many were saved after God shut the door of the ark in Noah's day? None. Everyone else perished. Eight souls were saved. Once God shuts the door, it's over. You're finished. So you want to be in when He shuts the door. Is He going to shut the door? Yes, He will. Do I know the day and the hour that He's going to do that? I don't know that. I know the season in which that event's going to take place. When is that season? We're in it right now. September, October time is very critical to the life of the believer. Now, I'm converting that from the seventh month of Tishri to our Gregorian calendar, so we convert it. You do the overlay, and it puts us in the September, October time of the year. Is that important to every believer? I hope from here on out, you always remember this. We're about to stop. Tonight, I'm going to talk about the 10 days of awe. 10 days of awe. A time where we're fasting and praying and making sure that we're prepared for the Day of Atonement that comes on Yom Kippur. Because if you're not ready, then how in the world is the atonement going to apply to you? Now, we've had an entire year, one whole year, where we've had ups and downs. Let me ask you this question. Nobody raised your hand, but I want to ask you so you can think about it. How many think here tonight that over the last year, in other words, a whole year ago, last September, you went and maybe you had some issues. Maybe you had some mistakes. Maybe you had some times where you know you sinned against God. Even as a believer, you made mistakes. Think about that. You're going to be on the Day of Atonement. Are you going to apply the blood of Jesus to those mistakes? Is that what we're going to do? Are we just going to kind of run through this time of the year? And it doesn't really mean anything. And that's why we have to change that. This has to be the most important time of your life as a believer around this time of the year. Because it's the time that God will make his voice heard by the trumpet, which will indicate for the Son to take the bride. When he steps across the threshold with the bride, what happens to the door? It gets shut and no one goes in. And so we ought to be prepared for the end time. And it saddens me, and I want to say it again, these statistics are true. You can go and check them out. About 5% of the church world is informed about this information. 5%. That's a travesty. We have to wake up, we have to get the message out, and we have to speak into people's life. And I tell you, it's important that we do so. It's a shocker to me that when you do talk about this to pastors, they get all uptight. They talk about, well, these are Jewish feasts. And I ask them, well, where is that in the scripture? Well, they can't show me because it's untrue. Well, who's these feasts belong to? The Bible says they're the Lord's feast. If they're the Lord's feast, and he said you should keep them for perpetually from generation to generation. How many know what perpetually means? There's an end to it? There's no end. You're going to continue to do this. And this is important for us to understand, valuable that we grab hold to it, so that urgency is created on the inside of us. How many know we have to have this urgency? So keep that in mind, that all of these things are important, and they're valuable for you and I to understand when it comes to looking at what God has established for us. But let me take you back where we left off. I think it was a very important part of understanding this. It's Nehemiah, the reading there. I want to show you something right where we stopped there. Now, that one before it, you can put it, go back one. There you go. The shofar is used together as well as war. So it's blown to gather the people. What it said in Leviticus? It says when you blow the trumpet, the people will gather at the tent door for the meeting with God. Now, in Nehemiah, we see something here that's fascinating. It says, and I said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large. Now, you understand, Jerusalem had been burned, and it was devastated, and the enemy can come in and go out at liberty. Anytime there's a breach, there's two things that happen with a breach. Things can go out, and things can come in. That's why we have to make sure that we're quick to repair anything that happens in our spiritual walk with God. If you get a breach in your relationship, remember, two things happen always with a breach, with a break. Things go out and things come in. And the things that come in are not good. You have to understand we're living in a society. And let me just help somebody here to think about this. Nehemiah is repairing the breach. The Lord spoke to him, took him in a journey, and showed him. He said, you know, how long is this going to happen? And the people were mocking and saying, it doesn't even pay for you to try. This will never work. But he's telling them, he said, listen to me. There's going to come a time when you're going to hear the trumpet blow. When you do, we're going to work together and we're going to repair the breach. And they repaired it because the people understood that concept. They worked together and they made sure that they wouldn't allow something to go out and something to come in. That's very important. So in this particular passage here, dealing with the Yom Teruah, it says this, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place thereof you hear the sound of the trumpet? That's Yom Teruah right there. In what place you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. Think about that. Now let me talk about this separated upon the wall just for a little bit. What we see here, and I believe what we have happening in our world today, is the enemy knows that the church is divided. It knows that. Anything divided against itself is not going to last. And let me tell you the danger in this. We live in a society that is completely oppressed by demonic influences. Now, if you can get the series on the Nephilim, Genesis 6, that we did here, and you'll see what I'm talking about. When the Nephilim, the fallen angels, come into the world, they took the daughters of men, and they had sex with human women. We're talking about angels. Angels. And they bore giants that were demonic and genetically altered. Now, you ever come across the verse of Scripture where it says, the word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword? Anybody familiar with that passage? You ever wonder what all those things mean when he says that? You ever wondered, why would God say something that has no use? Well, I'm going to tell you that everything God says has a purpose. It's quick and powerful. How many understand that? Sharper than any two-edged sword. Pierces the asunder, divides the soul and the spirit. It's the only way you and I can come to know God is once we get a dividing of the soul and spirit. Not only can happen by the washing of the water of the word, but it not only divides the soul and spirit, it also fixes the joint and the marrow down to the cellular level. Why do we need that? Because the genetics, if it's altered, God will not accept it. He will not. Now, I'm going to deal with this separation and why we have this genetic issue in the church world. When the giants were born in Genesis 6 from the Nephilim, he told Noah, you're going to build an ark. And I'm going to destroy the world. But I'm going to save you because Noah was perfect. The word perfect there means without spot or blemish or without genetic mutation. Same word used for the lamb that's brought. You have to bring the lamb first. It has to be 1 year old. It can't be old. It has to be the best of the flock. Can't have spot or blemish. Same word perfect there is the same one used in Genesis. Speaking of Noah was perfect. And it also says he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now think about this. We have a genetic altered society that was running rampant for over 1,200 years. From the time of Jared, read the Bible, you'll see that. From the time of Jared to the time of Noah, we have over 1,200 years. And in that time, the whole world was absolutely going crazy. Because we have a genetic altered state of the human being, and God said, I didn't create that. So what did he do? He destroyed it. But he saved a pure bloodline. Why would Satan do such a thing? Because he doesn't want the seed of the woman to come into the world. He doesn't want the seed that God said. He said to Satan, he said, your seed is going to be against her seed. Now, the word seed, you can do the word study on it. It'll always go down to the cellular level. Always winds up talking about the genetics. Now, think about this. We are celebrating Yom Teruah. An alarm is sounding, and we ought to be preparing our hearts because we live in a society that's as the days of Noah. Now, when is he going to return? He said he'll return, and it'll be like the days of Noah. What was happening in Noah's time wasn't just the world was bad. We had a mutated genetics that God said he didn't create, and he wouldn't have it on the planet. What was he trying to do? He was trying to tamper and change every genetic code so we could never have a Messiah, Jesus born to the Virgin Mary. That was his whole plan. But you can't outplan God. You can't outplan God. God knows what he's doing. Now, there have been many times where it looked like the last generation would be destroyed. In the case point, Noah and his generation. Think about it. Him and his, it looked like it was all over with, but God protected them. And he put him in an ark, and all of those things are types and shadows of what's to come. And it's going to be for you and I. So I want you to keep this in mind when I deal with the separation on the wall, because it's down to the cellular level, the joint and the marrow. I'm always wondering, Lord, what does the word have to do with the bone and the marrow? And when I began to study this, and it took a long time, and it took me just erasing all the presuppositions out of my mind so I can understand this. You know, most folks in the world today, you talk about giants in the church, they go, the first thing they think about is David and Goliath. That's all they know about it. They have no idea that it says they were in the world at that time and also after that, hence the Goliath. But did it stop there? I read to you this morning that when the children of Israel came to spy the land out, that they went to the children of Anak, and they found that the Nephilim, the descendants of the Nephilim, were there, and they had to, this is considered the summertime. So between the spring and the fall feast, we have a period of time, you can call it whatever you want, a gap, whatever you want to call it, but here we are. Now, you can in the time of that heat, in the time of that trouble, you can get a little tired and sleepy and fall asleep. While men slept, the enemy came and sowed tare among the wheat. The disciples said, "Shall we pull the tare up now?" He said, "No, let them grow together." The only way you can tell the difference between the wheat and the tare is when it comes to full maturity. Are y'all hearing me? Let me tell you about maturity. When God creates, he creates it mature. He didn't make a baby, Adam. Are y'all hearing me? He didn't make seeds and planted them. He made trees with fruit on them. See, God creates mature things. Are y'all here? He didn't create a baby, Adam. He created a full, mature man. But when God got ready to redeem mankind, he moved in the womb of a virgin and sowed a seed by the Holy Ghost. Are y'all here? And all of a sudden, that thing got life on the inside. The breath of God, the ruach of God breathed. And when that boy was born, the devil said, "I'm going to kill him soon as he's born." Herod. But God, by the time the devil plans, because he only can plan off of God's plan, God's plan is 7 steps ahead of him. The sad thing about it is I don't know where the church is. Are we up with God 7 times ahead, or we're still floating around trying to figure out whether or not we want to go to church or not? Because folks are going to miss God. He's going to come. They're going to know it. And we want you to know it. How many want to know it? So I want you to understand we're dealing right now with a genetic issue. We have the genetic tampering of the fruits, the vegetables, the corn. Monsanto is one of the biggest crooks of evil to destroy the fact that you cannot have your own seed. So what are they doing? They genetically alter the seed called GMO, genetically modified, and they patent it. And now for you to grow anything, you have to pay them because they own all the seed. They're genetically altering the human race. You know, while we're trying to figure out church, the elementary things, the devil's constantly building his campaign against the body of Christ. And here we are all these years and we still don't know the season that God's going to return. That's amazing to me. Because we believe what voices. You got to be careful what trumpet you hear. Remember I said this morning, if the trumpet sounds with the uncertain sound, who's going to prepare for battle? You won't do anything. What should we be doing right now? The church should be preparing for battle. This word should be preached from every pulpit. This is, listen, there's no joke here. This is no joke. This should be preached from every pulpit. The church should be preparing for battle right now. Because there's a war that's going on. And the women, notice this. He said, I will put enmity between your seed and her seed. That's a war. That's an enemy. And it won't end until Christ returns and sets the kingdom up. And he takes rule and reign and he puts the devil in his place. And so we need to be aware of that. That's what's going on. So the human race is being genetically tampered with. All of that's happening. And I want you to understand that. Because this deals with this separation on the wall. Now, let me talk about this for a moment so you understand the condition of the church. The scripture says in Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. All one. We're all one. The next verse, 1 Corinthians 14:8. For if the trumpet gives, and think about this, for if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare for battle? Who's going to do it? So the sound has to be correct. You have to realize that whatever is happening is for you and I to understand. We got to make sure we hear the right sound to prepare at the right time. Colossians 3:11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian nor Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Christ is all and in all. Ephesians 2:14, for he himself is our peace, who made both groups, unto one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. He broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. Mark 3:25, if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. How many understand? All these verses are important. If a house is divided against itself, it's not going to stand. So if there was ever a time that we come together and we revisited the text and we looked at it and we set aside our presupposition, well, I believe this, well, I'm this. You notice when you talk to folks around the world, and you ask them if they're a Christian, they'll always identify themselves with an organization. That's not a good practice. You know, folks might say, well, I'm Methodist. I'm Pentecostal. I'm Full Gospel. I'm Assembly. I'm Baptist. I'm Catholic. I'm Lutheran. I'm Presbyterian. And the list goes on and on. And if I kept saying just names, we could finish the whole night. So if we're on the wall and we're separated, when the trumpet sounds, will we gather together to fight the same battle? You say, well, what do we do? We're kind of in a dilemma, right? Let me tell you where it starts. It starts with you that are here. You sitting here, you're hearing this. God has worked out every detail in your life to see to it that you'd be sitting in this place at this particular time. Why did he see fit to that? That's only God knows that. I'm so thankful that he allowed me to be here. And I owe God the glory and the praise and the honor. If it wouldn't be for him to speak in my life, I wouldn't know any of this. So to God be the glory and the praise. Amen? In 1 Corinthians 1:10, it says, "Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree that there be no division among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind, in the same judgment." Notice that. So is there going to be something different for everybody? You know, it's where we get to, where we went wrong to begin with, when we didn't keep the feast at all. Not the church. For some reason, it just went through. The church started making its rules and regulations, especially when the first century, second century, third century, by the fourth century, it was going rampant. They were bringing in the bishops and they were setting rules. They were saying, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to believe. We're going to institute this. We're going to institute that. This is what we're going to call Christian. And before you know it, we have more doctrine from men than we have from God. And the question is, can we worship God in vain? He said, yet they do worship me in vain, teaching for doctrine the traditions of men. And so we can't teach for doctrine the traditions of men, yet we do it all the time. Hence, that's where we get so many names and titles. But here's the thing. When the trumpet blows and the alarm sounds, will we all gather on the wall at a special spot so we can let God fight for us? So the question is who is he going to fight for? Is he just going to go and say, whoa, I got one gathering here, and I got a group gathering there, and I got a group gathering there, and a group gathering here, and a group gathering there. Nehemiah said, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, the shofar, you gather in one spot. And so this has been going on for a long time. So you understand, you need to understand the condition of the church. You and I need to understand that it starts somewhere, and we need to let it start with us. That, Lord, I want to give my all to thee. Now, listen to me careful. If you do that, if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and with all your strength, then you will be in a position to do whatever it is God wants you to do. And that goes for every person that loves the Lord. Every person that's a Christian, they have to do the same thing. There's a video that was out. I think it went viral. And the title is, "I'm a Christian." Anybody ever see that? Let me see your hand if you saw that. Nobody. Wow. Nobody saw that video. It's, "I'm a Christian." I'm a Christian. And then it goes on to talk about what they stand for. And by the time they had 4, 5, 6 different people talk about they're Christian, they all stood for something different, and none of it applied to the scripture. That's a problem. Because remember, I'm a Christian. And it doesn't apply to the scripture. So that's it's something you can, I think you can find it. There are some people that came back and rebuts the whole thing. They do a rebuttal of it, but you can look it up and look at what I'm talking about. It's pretty shocking. The most shocking thing is nobody in here is connected as you are. It saw it. Glory. I'm not that connected. I don't know. Maybe the Lord just led me to it. I don't know. We need to be waiting, watching, and listening. That's what we need to be doing. Waiting, watching, and listening. One problem is there are many voices out there. Many voices. We must be sure that we are listening to the right voice. There are many voices. We need to listen to the right voice. There's a lot of stuff. I said, you know, the internet and the World Wide Web is like a two-edged sword. As much as it can help you with your study and investigating, it also can hurt you. It's a two-edged sword. So you have to pray over your life. You have to cover yourself by the blood of Jesus before you go diving into stuff, because how many know there are many voices out there? And before you know it, you'll be confused. You won't know what to believe. But you got to remember the Word of God is what is the final authority. So you have to match. Everything has to submit to the Word of God. Everything. It submits to the Word. Whatever the Word declares, whatever you're listening to, it has to submit. So that's how you check everything. You check it by the Word. But I want to tell you, if you and I are going to participate in fixing the problem of the divided wall, the partition that Christ came and broke down, what happened to the veil that was between both sects of people in the synagogue? They went to the same building. The same building. And they had a dividing wall. Some sat on this side and some sat on that side. And what happened to it? He tore down the middle wall of partition. He said, we're not going to have that. That's something that we don't want to put back up, right? We don't want that. And so the way we prevent that is we got to be careful to make sure that we're listening to the right voice. Deuteronomy chapter 13. Very important passage. You can read it on your own time, all of it, but I just gave a few verses here. Verse number one, if a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arise among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come true concerning which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods whom you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Do you see that? He's testing you. So what is he saying? There are going to be things that happen. Folks will come along and they'll give you a word, and that word will be true. But then he'll say, you know, we don't really have to serve the Most High God. We don't really have to give honor to the Most High God. We can just be a Christian, kind of a more flexible Christian. What does he say? You don't go after him. Why did he allow the man to know this? This looked, seemed to be something supernatural. He said, I'm going to test you. Because the moment they say we can serve God, there are many ways to God. That's an issue. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth and the life. No man can go to the Father but through me. I'm going to go with that. Right? So we have to be careful. So he points out this for us, for our understanding, for our learning. And again, this is important because during the time of the feast, when the alarm blows, it's an alarm, you have a certain amount of time to prepare that he's going to come, and you have to be ready for it. Verse 4, you shall follow the Lord your God and fear him, and you shall keep his commandments and do what? Listen to his voice. Listen to his voice. Serve him and cling to him. How many see that? We got to know. He said, my sheep know my voice. They know it. Now, what does the trumpet, the Yom Teruah, what does it represent? It represents the voice. It's the trumpet. And I gave you that this morning, talking about that what we have to be the trumpets of the Lord. What comes out of us? Is it what the Word says? Does it match the Word? If I speak these things, is that what's coming out? And remember, the air that pushes through the trumpet is what makes the sound. Without no air, there is no sound. You can have a perfectly good trumpet, but it takes air. And that's why he said you have to have the ruach, which is the Old Testament Hebrew word for the breath of God. Or the pneuma is the Greek term. You have to have that air that pushes. So he says, listen to my voice. So if we listen to his voice, what do? We repeat what he says. We speak the things of God and what God declares. But that prophet, he says, or that dream of dreams shall be put to death. See, I'm convinced that there's some folks that people are following in the church world. They need to lay to rest those people and quit listening to those voices. Anytime the only message that a preacher has is whether or not you're able to give enough money in order for them to have more, and somehow God's going to put you on the glory wagon and you're going to get some come your way, then that's the only message they preach. That's the wrong voice. That don't prepare you for nothing but for failure later on. It sounds good. It seems to be good, but you're not ready for Yom Teruah. You have no idea what that is because they won't preach it. They won't talk about it. That's the wrong voice. So what does he say? He says, but that prophet or that dream of dreams shall be put to death because he has counseled rebellion against the Lord your God who brought you from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. To do what? To seduce you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. To seduce you. Listen, there's a lot of people seduced. A lot of people. Folks going around talking about $1,000 seed. I feel the anointing on me. It's $1,000 seed. That's the wrong voice. Don't believe it. It's a bunch of lies. They ought to be teaching the word of God, preparing you for the return of the Lord. Teaching you that we're in a time and a season where we ought to get our hearts right with God because the Day of Atonement's about to approach. Don't get up and talk about you feel something. The only thing they feel is the breeze blowing in their hair, riding in their convertible, headed to the bank to make another deposit. And somebody has got to stand up and say it. It's not popular, but it's the truth. It's no different than the government and what they're doing, lying to people, telling folks, well, the way we see it, it's okay for a man to marry a man. We had no problem for a woman to marry a woman. Well, what does God say? Does anybody care about what God thinks anymore? Does he matter at all? And that's why we have a large number of churches, a large number of churches that say, well, you know, at some point, you know, we have to just evolve so we can get along with everybody. Is that the truth? That's not what God said. God said they're trying to seduce you. You're getting sucked in. That's what the Nephilim did in Genesis 6. They sucked everybody in to think, you know what? Just like Eve got sucked in, she was told, you don't listen, that God didn't mean that. He meant this. You'll be as God, knowing good and evil. See, God just wants you to know good, and that's just not good enough. You can know evil. Oh. And so what does the Nephilim do? They tell them the same thing. You can be immortal. You know what our society says? Our society is trying to eliminate God in every angle. They don't need God. We don't need God. We don't need creation. We don't need any of that. That's why they sold the lie of evolution for many years, and now they're being busted. You ought to tell, next time you, listen, next time they pop out there, you go, you're busted. That's a lie. You ought to teach your children to say that in school. You know when they say, anybody got a question? I got one. And when you start talking, you say, well, it's not really a question. It's more like a comment. You got busted. That's a lie. Yeah. And they won't, let me tell you, you'd be shocked. They won't have much to say because they know it's the truth. They know that it's the truth and things are being found out. Every day, more things are being found out how people bought the lie that's been handed down to them. And what happens, it pulls you away from the truth of the Word of God. But what is the alarm for? What is Yom Teruah for? It sounds the alarm and it shakes you and says, wake up! Yeah. Quit sleeping when you and I ought to be more aware of what's going on around us and how our society is crumbling around us, and it's just pushing more and more. It's just pushing the people all to water, just pushing them in to pin you in to a lie. But God says, don't you follow it. Don't you do it. So, and it's what he says, so you shall purge the evil from among you. Purge the evil from among you. Isaiah 40, verse 3 and 5 through 5. Isaiah 40, it says, a voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway of our God. Let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all flesh will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. What does he say? For the mouth of the Lord has spoken, Yom Teruah. The voice, the blowing of the trumpet. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. That's an alarm. He's getting us, wake up. Wake up, because this thing is happening all around us. The sound of the shofar is a call, a voice. The people were told to prepare themselves to hear the voice of the shofar from heaven. Part of the preparation was to keep themselves clean. Keep themselves clean. When they heard the voice of the shofar, God himself will come down to meet with them. God himself will come down to meet with them. So what did they have to do? Well, he told them, he said, listen, everybody, you need to keep yourself clean. So they're making their approach to Mount Sinai. Something's about to happen that had never happened. How many know we read in the book of Acts when the day of Pentecost was fully come? Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. You know, we see that New Testament. We say, well, that's the only time it's ever happened. That's not true. There was a time when the Spirit and power of God came, just like the day of Pentecost, and it happened at Mount Sinai. Do you understand that? If you was here and you heard my teaching on Passover, you ought to be familiar with that. When I done the teaching on the Passover, and the understanding that feast, and taking you through the unleavened bread, and we had our gathering, and we sat here to celebrate the Passover, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord, and first fruits, all. And so you understand that the Shavuot, when you look at that, when you look at the Shavuot or the Passover, this is what he's talking about when he says that they came to Mount Sinai, and there was an outpouring, there was a power from on high. But he said, when you hear the shofar, God himself will come down and meet with you. Psalms 89, verse 6, with the trumpet and the sound of a horn, shout joyfully before the King of the Lord. Now, here's again, with the trumpet and the sound of a horn. So we have two different things here, two things. So we see the trumpets. Remember we talked about the silver trumpets? There are two of them. We showed you how they tied into the two witnesses that'll be in Revelations. The two witnesses have to come, one from Ephraim, and one from Judah. They have to. We have the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. We have those two kingdoms, and we have to understand that that's what he's talking about. Now, the Judah is the Jews, and then the Ephraim, that's the scattered nations, which include you and I in that. The scattered nations. Now, so the Bible's clear. It says that if they have anyone that sojourns with the children of Israel, and that's how they were understood as. And he's a foreigner. Does there a separate rule for the foreigner? Not according to the word of God. He said they should keep the same commandments and obey the same laws. There's not a different law for the foreigner. Now we can take ourselves and put us in that because we're not natural to the olive tree, but we've been grafted in by the grace of God. Is there a different set of rules for those grafted in? No. But yet in the church world today, about 95% of the church world is dispensationalist, and they teach that there's a difference between the church being raptured and the Jews being coming. So they have to preach three comings. He came to die, he returns for the church, and then he returns for the Jews. Now you go home and you try to find the third coming of Christ in your Bible and come back and let me know. Come back and let me know if you can find that. Three comings. He came to die. He comes for the church. That's the rapture. Pre-trib. And then he comes to get the Jews that make it through the tribulation. You go find it. I've never found it. And I've been studying the Bible for 30 years. I've never found it. Because it's not true. The church has been lied to. And I encourage you to get your Bible and go study it out for yourself. He's going to come at the time when you hear the sound of the trumpets. It's all tied in the scripture. When the sound of the silver trumpets happen, he sounds the alarm to announce, I'm about to come. And then we have the 10 days of awe that leads to Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And he's going to fulfill the first one, Yom Teruah, he'll fulfill. Once he fulfills that one, he's going to fill Yom Kippur. Once he fulfills that, we're going to have the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, where he tabernacles, we tabernacle with him. At one time, the Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. We're going to tabernacle with him. How do we get there? How do we get underneath the huppah? How do we get there? He picks us up. How many's ever seen a wedding cake? You ever seen a wedding cake? You ever seen the one they put the little statue on it? And they got ones that you can look and they got the groom's got the bride in his hand on the wedding cake. Has anybody ever saw those? They got different ones you can put on there. But that is a prophetic thing. So when he returns, he's going to gather the church, Jews and Greeks. Don't ever believe it's separate gathering. There ain't no separate gathering. It's one gathering. Jews and Greeks, there's neither bond nor free, no Jew nor Greek. We're all one in Christ. Don't ever believe that they're separate. They're going to have some other treatment. Here's what's going to happen. He's going to gather the church, and then he's going to step across the threshold. The door will be shut, and we'll be in the marriage supper of the Lamb. Once that happens, it's going to be glorious. It's going to be glorious. Well, you know, he's got to come and gather us up. You said, what about the dead? Well, that's why they have to raise. Right? He's not going to haul dead folks across the threshold. He said the dead in Christ shall raise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. How many thank God for that? So God knows what he's doing. He's going to take us across, and it's going to be something. Because that is where it consummates. In the chamber or the bedroom. In my Father's house are many rooms. Many rooms. I prepared them for you. So I want to tell you, Brother Scott, you got a hoopah. Brother Josh, Brother Frey, you all have hoopahs. It's got one for you. And one day, you'll stand next to him and get a chance to say. See, we're doing it right now by faith. That's why the just shall live by faith. But in one day it'll consummate. Now, the wedding cannot be true until it consummates in the bedroom chamber. And that's what's prepared for us. When you get in there, you'll be able to look at him and say, I do. Now, you can do that now by faith, right? That's how we do. We live it by the Spirit of the Lord, by faith. We trust God, and the just shall live by faith. That's what we do. And it's actually as if it's already happened. That's what faith is. Believing as real fact what doesn't make sense to the mind. That's faith. Believing as real fact what doesn't make sense to you. So we do that. And so notice the two trumpets and the horn. So there's two things. We have the ram's horn and the silver trumpets that he talks about in this particular verse. Exodus 19 through 20, there's the reading for you. And the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Moses spoke, and God answered him with a thunder. That word thunder, and it's translated, is voice. With a voice. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. You can keep reading that. I just gave you a couple of verses, but you can put that in your notes and go back and study that. 10 days of awe. Let me give this to you, and we're going to come to an end of this, and because we have baptism, we're going to baptize some folks tonight. 10 days of awe, Yom Kippur. This is what I want you to do to get ready. You have ten. We started it yesterday. We're going through it now. I have my. What's the announcement? Can you that announcement? It's Tuesday and Wednesday, right? I said Wednesday and Thursday. It's Tuesday and Wednesday. So you'll be here Tuesday night, Wednesday during the day. If you want to come in and spend the day with a teaching class on Yom Kippur, you're welcome to come and do that. But Wednesday night, we'll have regular service, and then we'll continue to go through it. So obviously, we'll do Thursday night also, so you'll have Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night that we'll be looking at this study to help you. 10 days of awe. Here, I would give these to you really quick, and you'll see what I'm talking about. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's stuff that you need to be thinking about. He knew no sin, he became sin. Romans 3:25, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was the demonstration of righteousness because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. You need to be looking at that verse because we come into the time of the atonement where he atones for our sins. 1 John 2:2, and he himself is the propitiation of our sin, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. I'll give you the definition there, propitiation, from a Latin word, and you see it means to appease. It's gracious. It is the act of appeasing or making well disposed a deity, thus incurring divine favor or avoiding divine retribution. So we're not gonna come up against that. Why? Because somebody took it on behalf of us. Coming to the Day of Atonement, you should be reflecting on what Christ did for you. You should be praying in that way, fasting, spending some time with God, thanking him. Anything you can think about in the year before, you should be able to bring that before the Lord. Now, you can do it any day between that time, but on this particular time, you got to understand because it's the season of the return of our Savior, we want to make sure that we're ready, right? Remember we talked about if somebody's coming to visit you, what do? You get ready. You prepare the home. You get everything ready. That's what you ought to be doing at this time of the year. 1 John 4:10, and this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation of our sins. So there it is again. Hebrews 10:14, for by one offering he has perfected for all times those who are sanctified. How many offerings? By one offering, he perfects all. For all times, and so keep that in mind. That offering that he made was his own life. Revelation 20:15. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. That's some serious business there. So how do you get your name written in the Lamb's book of life? You got to make sure that your sins have been atoned for. So although we can do this any time of the year, a person can come get saved any time of the year, but there's a special time of the year, this time, the 10 days of awe leading up to Yom Kippur, that we as Christians ought to be saying, I'm thankful for the time that God's cleansed me. I don't want to wind up in this situation here. Because what happens once the door shut? It's over. Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Will enter. How many want to be the ones who are entering? Yes. I do. I'm going to do that. I got to make sure I go through my life. And you got time to do that. It's called the 10 days of awe. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Good or bad. So what is happening? What is happening is all during the year, we have things going on in our life. We have times that we do good, times that we just we embarrassed to even go to church and try to sing because we know we've messed up and might have said something, acted in a certain way, and all that's recorded. Just want to let you know. Every bit of it's recorded. There's books. The Bible talks about books. Not just the book of life, but he opened the books. What are the books for? It's because he reads everything that goes on in your life. And everything, doesn't matter if I know about it or your neighbor knows about it, God knows about it. How many understand that? So what is this time, the 10 days of awe? It's for you to clear up them books. You say, how do we do that? The Bible says if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That's what you should be doing in these next few days leading up to the Tuesday night. By the time Tuesday night comes and we go through the Tuesday night, Wednesday night, you have to be ready for the Day of Atonement. And if we're seeing it as those that we've been fulfilled, that could possibly be when the last trumpet sounds. When is it going to come? At the last trumpet. The last trumpet. So keep that in mind because this is important. So let me do this. I know I don't have it up there, but I got to do this. Go to Matthew. And then we're gonna close, but I want to make sure, because I said a lot of stuff that I didn't have on the slides, because the Lord, I was impressed by the Lord to make sure to mention these things. But let me show you something in Matthew. I think it's important for us to understand and see, because it's something that God wants us to know. He wants us to understand these principles and see them. Let me see where it's at here. Look at Matthew 24. Here it is. Matthew 24. Look at verse 29. Matthew 24, verse 29. I want everybody to understand this. The Bible says here in that verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give its light, her light, and the stars shall fall from the heavens, and the power of the heavens shall be shaken. When? When is that going to happen? Immediately after the tribulation. Immediately after the tribulation. I want to just tell you, if somebody tells you, don't worry about anything because you're not going to go through any tribulation, that's not true. I just read to you the words of Jesus. He said immediately after the tribulation, these things will happen. After. I'm going to go with Jesus on this. I think he knows what he's talking about. People has been lying to people for a long time. And it's sad. You need to prepare. The Bible says straight is the way, the gate. Narrow is the way. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way that leads to life. That word, narrow, is the same word for tribulation. So it can be read like this. Straight is the gate. And tribulation is the way that leads to life. Tribulation. The worst mass exodus that ever happened after Corrie Ten Boom, who went through the concentration camps in Germany. I believe she was Dutch, if I'm not mistaken. If you read her book, The Hiding Place. But she said out of her travels, when she traveled to China, that the ministers in China said the worst things ever happened to the church in China is when they never told us that we would be persecuted. The missionaries went and never told them. They told them, don't worry about anything. God's going to, you don't have to worry about anything. He'll just take you out of here before the persecution. And they started persecuting them, and there was a mass just begin to leave from the church. The truth has to be told. People need to know. You're going to go through some tribulation. What did Jesus say? He said, In this world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So you need to understand that. You're going to have tribulation. Tribulation is what leads to life. Should we fear it? Absolutely not. Because God will be with us. Amen? And so I want him to be with you also. Let's stand together. We're going to stand. All those are going to be baptized. Y'all can go ahead and start getting ready. We're going to incorporate the baptism in our service today. But those who are standing here, I want to encourage you and pray with you so you'll understand these principles to become real to you. I want you to know that this time, this 10 days of awe that we're going into, I'm going to ask you, every one of you, to start praying and fasting and laying out everything before the Lord. And you might have to do it this way because maybe you don't know. Say, Lord, if there's anything at all in my life that you see that could have been a hindrance to me to grow stronger in you, I want it atoned for, whatever it may be. So, God, the things I know and the things I don't know, I want them to be atoned for. I need you in my life. And start seeking God leading up to our next service. And so we have the dates. They're going to be posted. I think, do they have them back there? See if somebody can pull that on the calendar when you're going out. You'll see it on the wall going out. Because that'll be the dates, the times for the service. I'll be at 7 o'clock. And I'm going to teach on the subject of Yom Kippur. Just like I did Yom Teruah, I'm going to teach on that subject, show you what it means, how does it apply to the church today. And immediately after that, we're going to prepare everybody to get ready for their 7 days feast of the tabernacle feast that we're going to be participating in. It's going to lead us all the way through the end of September, going into, I think, a little bit of October. We're going to be here for portions of that. We're going to be making our missions trip across to Nepal. We'll be there. And we're going to ask in these 10 days of awe that people are praying and fasting concerning that trip, concerning the word of God that needs to come forth when we go there and minister the word of the Lord. That's going to be important. We know God wants the truth to be ministered all over the world. And how many know God's dependent on you and I to be the trumpet that the right air flows through? There are many voices, but there's only one voice that counts, and that's the voice of the Lord. And that's the one that we should be repeating. We should be speaking the things of God, not the things that we think. So I want you to be thinking about that this week. So we're going to pray for you that you'll be ready to go into this 10 days of awe, which started when we first started, and it's going to count us all the way through getting us to the next service, okay? And God will give you the strength. God will give you the understanding. He'll open up your heart, and you need to ask him. You need to ask him. Don't just sit there and listen to the prayer. You need to say, Lord, I want to get closer to you. I don't want to find out when I stand before you and you look at me and say, depart from me. I don't know you. That would be terrible words to hear because you don't get another shot. Once he says that, it's over. You can't say, but wait, time out. Can you imagine the people going to be screaming? People that's going to be saying, please wait. And he'll remind them every time. He'll open them books up and say, well, look how many times you was in church. Look how many times I gave you the word is there and you didn't read it. You didn't study it. You didn't find out. Well, here we are. We want to know. And we want to make sure when we stand before him, we hear those right words. Amen? Father, I thank you, Lord, for every person that's here. God, I thank you that we can trust you and know that your word is true. You said you'd always be there to help us and instruct us in the word. I pray, God, that the word that was spoken here, it would sink on good ground and bring forth fruit in our life. God, if there's anything that I've said that is not correct, Lord, let those words fall. They will not take root. They will not teach anybody anything. But God, the words that were spoken that are true, let those words go forth and do what you've sent them to do. You said, I put the bread on the water and it won't return void. It will accomplish the thing whereunto it was sent. And we thank you, Lord. So we ask you, Lord, that the sent word, the word that you sent through my mouth, Lord, will go forth and do what it's supposed to do. God, you know, I humble myself before you and God only want what you want. God, nothing that's in my own mind and my own ideas, but God, I humbly submit to you and your word. Let it be true and every man be a lie. But God, we thank you tonight. We thank you for this time that you've given us that we could come and celebrate Yom Teruah. The sounding of the alarm, the silver trumpets have been blown, and we are gathered and prepared, Lord. God, if you should see fit to come, Lord, we want to be ready to meet you in the air. And we thank you for that. So, Lord, the next few days, as the days of awe, we want to make sure that we repent before you, that our heart is clean before you. We draw closer to you. We fast and we pray and we seek you, and we realize that our sins have been atoned for by the blood that Jesus shed for us. And we thank you for that. I pray for each person here, God, that they would grab hold to these principles and it would touch their lives in a special way. God, ignite in them a hunger and a desire to start studying, Lord, like never before. To lay aside all the things that occupy us and take up our time, that we can turn more to your word and understand it. Let the fire and the anointing and the awakening happen with the sound of the shofar. Let it blow and give us the alarm, God, that we have awake, and we're going to seek you and continue to seek you with all that's in us. We thank you, Lord, for this time you've given us. How amazing, Lord, you've been to us to give us such mercy and grace to not leave us, Lord, in our misunderstanding, but God, bring us out of that so we can understand the truth before you return. We thank you for that. We love you, Lord, and give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, we're going to ask you to be seated. We're going to get all those that are going to be baptized today to come on up. All that's going to be baptized, come on and get ready. Brother Josh, would you come? Brother Scott, would you come help me? Glory to God. Brother Herman, you're going to take your spot up here. So you're going to come over here with me.